So this summer, I was lucky enough to receive some time off to be with my family. You all, as a congregation, offered me the chance to take 6 weeks off to find renewal and rejuvenation. I spent that entire time away with my family. We took a road trip. We adventured into the mountains. We went to the pool. We went to the zoo. And our last getaway, right before Joey went back to school, was to go camping. At a little campsite just north of Fairplay, we enjoyed a few days amongst the aspens. And it just so happened that our second night of camping coincided with the height of a meteor shower. And so I got to lay on the ground holding Joey as we stared up looking into the sky. Now, many of you appreciate that the mountain sky is different than the city sky. Like any remote location with no light pollution, you can see things you never knew were there. Now, back when I was a church camp counselor up in the mountains, I remember one night a young camper looking up and going, "What is that big stripe in the sky?" I mean, though this young man had read about the Milky Way in science textbooks, he had no idea that it really was this milky white stripe across the entire sky, and that it was there every night. He just couldn't see it. It was just as wonderful talking with Joey about the abundance of stars that surround us as we waited for these meteors to streak across the sky. Gazing up, I began to think about the countless orbs of burning gas that are sending their light from years ago, finally reaching us, the constant, endless celestial motion happening all around us as we spin amidst this amazing spinning of the cosmos, the vastness of space between all the light that I was seeing that looked so close together but was light years away from one another. And I was caught in one of those moments where your brain tries to comprehend infinity and just hiccups. It is that brain-boggling perspective that you need to keep in mind to fully appreciate our scripture today. You see, Abram was this old guy who figured life had all but passed him by. He and his wife Sarai had long passed the time of having a family, and Abram was, well, he was bitter. He was downright angry. Though they'll later be known as Abraham and Sarah, the patriarch and matriarch of this great lineage of people at the time, they were just Abram and Sarai, and they were angry. They had not yet been changed and experienced enough change to need new names. They were just old and disappointed. Having lived a good life, having been faithful to the idea of a God that no one else seemed to understand, Abraham was a bit put out that things hadn't gone his way. I mean, at the time, there was an understanding that God decided if you had children or not. Now, something I want to remind anyone who has ever struggled with infertility is not true. But in Abram's day, this was the understanding. So Abram, who was blessed by a visit from the Lord, decides to take God to task. Maybe you've been in that moment where you finally lose the reverence and just start spilling out the feelings. I mean, Abram looks at God and starts yelling, "Why don't I have a kid? Why will everything I have go to some distant relative when I die instead of my own line of descendants? I did everything you asked. Why is there nothing in this for me?" And God, who from time to time has been known to trot out the "I am the Lord, why do you question me" defense, instead decides with compassion to respond with something more specific. Genesis 15 offers it this way. "Then God brought Abram outside and said, 'Look up. Look up at the sky and count the stars if you think you can.' God continued, 'This is how many descendants you will have.'" If you've only ever seen the night sky from the busy, light-polluted, hazy view of the city, the scripture still carries some weight. I mean, even the Denver night sky has more stars than I would want to count, and that many descendants would make for an impressive family tree. But read this scripture and then lay on the ground in the middle of a moonless night, miles from anything brighter than a flashlight. Imagine Abram looking at that milky white stripe, every little bit of white, a star if not 10 or 20, fathoming all of the glowing dots in the sky. All he asked for was one kid. One. He just wanted one kid to give his stuff to. One kid who would remember his name and tell another generation stories about him. I love being outside. He just wanted that one, and then God pulls him outside and says, "Oh, Abram, your vision isn't big enough." Now, having named that, I do not believe God manages the whole having of children. I don't want to make this about the scripture about the problem of having progeny or not. Let's instead consider other moments in life that leave us frustrated, disappointed, perhaps bitter, like Abram was. We have these moments where we want to look at God and scream, seriously, why? What's going on here? When we turn to God and start asking pointed questions about these perceived failures of the divine, when we see or experience for ourselves the pain of grief and loss, the anguish of apathy, the sting of injustice, the randomness of natural disaster, when we turn to God in anger or tears, when we turn to God in profanity or sighs too deep for words, when we turn to God and say, fix this, why would you let this happen? Or shouldn't things be better than this? God responds to us with an unfathomable expanse. You see, when Joey and I were watching for meteors, it took a while for him to see one. I mean, these weren't the little quarter inch of the sky little glimmers that we can often see in the mountains. These were the light up a third of your visible horizon streaks of silver across the sky. But he kept missing them. Every time I would point to where one had been, he would then focus his eyes as if looking a million miles away to the tiniest point. And another meteor could appear a few degrees away, but all he could see was this small point of darkness that he had chosen to focus on. His vision wasn't big enough. I tell you, encouraging him to quit staring so hard, encouraging him to take a breath and relax his entire being, not just his eyes, and to open himself and his eyes to the entire half dome of night that surrounded us was not an easy task. He wanted to look somewhere. You know, when any of us desperately want to see something more in life, I swear it's almost hardwired into us, into our human condition, to look and look and look until all we can do is focus on this tiny point of darkness where things aren't happening the way we want them to. Our vision isn't big enough. But I tell you, when Joey finally opened his eyes to the vastness around us, not staring in this determined desperation, but instead welcoming whatever might come in places he didn't know to look, his eyes suddenly were able to catch a glimpse of something more. In fact, with enough openness, his eyes began able to pull themselves to where the light was appearing almost instinctively. By taking it all in and looking for something bigger, he began to see the light as it happened all around him. You see, honestly, with a vision big enough, the light doesn't just appear. The light can even draw us to itself. And so it is in our daily lives. Like Abram, we are invited to discover God's desires actually surpass our own requests. God's desires actually surpass our own human understanding. When we see a moment of brokenness and want it fixed, God says your vision isn't big enough, and God invites us to see the entire world made whole. When we are stirred to anger by abuses of power and inequity caused by greed, and we want that righted, God looks at us and says, your vision isn't big enough. God instead invites us to see justice rolling down like mighty waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream upon the entire world. When we are heartbroken as witnesses to pain and loss, when we want that situation to get better, God says your vision isn't big enough and invites us to understand ourselves and every beloved life as held in the embrace of the divine. I tell you, the Creator's love, the spirit of hope, the acceptance of justice, and the acceptance and justice made known in Christ, these gifts will illuminate the world around us if we will open our vision to seeing them. But we can miss that life-changing light if our vision is limited, so that we only see the places that appear dark because we have lost sight of what fully surrounds us. So hear the invitation. Hear the invitation to take a breath and relax your entire being. Hear the invitation to open yourself to a vision that is bigger than you could have imagined. A vision that can change not just the way you see, but change you and change everything. Amen.